Lord, thank you for this glorious, amazing day. Wow. And God, I know it's a selfish prayer, but I'd really love to hear Felix cry while I'm speaking. I really would. God, I've been praying for that for 3 months, God. Come on. And Lord, just to speak. Speak, Lord. Lord, we're here to hear from you, God. And if we hear from you, it's great. I can walk away feeling I preach the best message in the world, Lord. But if we don't hear from you, it's a waste of time. So, Lord, God, just flow and speak, Lord, with what we need here this morning. Amen. This is part two. Get your wings. Get your wings. What does that mean? Does that mean we're joining the Air Force Academy? No. Wings is we get a handle on worship. So we find out how powerful worship is and all this stuff about, you know, the Bible says about how great worship is. Yeah, we want that. We don't want to just come here and sing and have a worship as a theological concept. We want to get a handle on this. We want to know what it's about. God, do that work in our life. And we started off last week and I'm doing about a 4 or 5 part message on this. And we're going to go right back to turning the pointer on so it works. Okay. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish. Got to rule over the fish, okay? In the sea, and the birds in the sky. Remember we talked about destined to rule? I elaborated on that. That was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground, okay? So God's will for us, right from the beginning, has always been to have authority, to share his authority, rulership. It's been his will for us. We're destined. It was his will for us to rule. Okay? But you know what happened. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife. Now, I was going to have some fun with that, but I'm not going to. It's in the Bible, okay? It's just stop thinking those thoughts you're thinking, okay? Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Notice he says because of you, not because of your wife. I kind of like that. That's kind of even in and out, you know. Though through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return. So we've got God's plan and God's intention thwarted by man's will. Man, this did not need to happen. All man needed to do was be simply obedient. They didn't have 10 commandments. They had one rule, just one, okay? Don't touch a tree, you know? You know, I gotta touch a tree, gotta touch a tree. Come on! One rule! He touched the tree, okay? And as soon as they, you know the story, as soon as they eat of the tree, oh, something's wrong. He looks at her, she looks at him, and they say something that they've never said before. We're naked. Where'd you get that from? Okay? They didn't even know before. It didn't mean anything, okay? We're naked. So something clicked right away. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now, don't get technical here. They didn't have a needle and a thread. They kind of put the fig leaves together, probably tied them together and tried to put them around, you know, kind of funny, you know, a little weird. But they knew they were naked. But then the word says, the Lord God, look at go D. I need to do a better job of proofreading there. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Now, it wasn't because God was into leather, okay? That's you're not wearing plants in my garden, no way. You know, I'm getting you suited up. Okay? No, okay? Some of you know why. There was sin that took place, and for not only them to be clothed physically, that was secondary. That wasn't even, they had sinned, and an innocent life had to be taken, okay? Blood had to be shed to atone for their sin. Wow, that's kind of radical. Hey, God's the creator here. And sin is so bad, we get a message right away, sin is so bad that shed blood is the only way to atone for it, cover for it, okay? I didn't make the rules, God did. And he drives home immediately at the dawn of creation, you know, just right after creation. This is how serious it is. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If they'd obeyed, an animal wouldn't have had to die, okay? If they'd obeyed, I don't know what creation would have looked like, but it wouldn't have looked like this. Okay? But they didn't. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. Sacrifice was used for atonement. Sacrifice is a powerful thing, but obedience is better than sacrifice. That's a principle I'm trying to get a hold on today. Okay? 1 Samuel 15:22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? That's huge. That's huge right there. There's New Testament verses where Jesus says to Peter, and this is after he's risen from the dead, and they know they kind of got a hint he's not going to be around much longer, okay? And he asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter say? He says, yes, you know I love you. And he says, what he says, feed my sheep. In other words, be obedient to me. Do what I tell you to do, okay? Keith Green. How many know who Keith Green is? Okay, put your hand up, okay? Quite a story. Maybe someday the Lord will lead me to do a biographical message on him. He died when he was 29 years old, 1983. I was in Texas about 2 months after he died at a pastor's conference down there. And there was a lot of people there that I knew personally that worked very closely with Keith Green. Fantastic piano player, incredible musician, but more than just a musician. This guy was a prophet. This guy drove record companies crazy because he believed it was God's music. And why should we charge for the albums? We're going to give them away. You can't do that. We won't make any money. Well, I'm in it to serve God and to bless people, not to make money. And an incredible life. Okay. Died in a plane crash. I love this song. One of the lines from one of his songs, to obey. And I think the title of the message, the song is to obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money. I want your life. But the damage is done and sin is here. But here's the good news. This is why it's called good news. Gospel means good news. It's Greek for good news. Gospel. Jesus sacrificed his life to restore our broken purpose. You got that? He died for all of us. The blood, remember it was blood that covered sin, but Christ's blood is not just anybody's blood. It is sinless blood. He took on the form of a man so we get God literally clothing himself with humanity and shedding his blood so that sin would be atoned for once and for all. Okay? So, sacrifice has restored what disobedience lost. Okay? Sacrifice has restored what disobedience lost. And when we worship, especially sacrificially, now when I say worship, it's not just singing. Colossians 3:17, this is a very important verse. It says, whatever you do, do to the glory of God, okay? And I've used the expression a lot of times. One of the starkest examples in my personal life was when I was between the age of 17 and 19, and I was building 351 engines in the Ford plant in Windsor, okay? And it was boring work. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I like the money, like factory money, UAW. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic money. But boring, boring, boring. All day, okay? And I don't know, I must have been the Spirit of God, but I believed in my silly teenage concept of God, I believed that if I can do all things to the glory of God, even that thing can become an act of worship. And my days at Ford became acts of worship, okay? I'd be singing, I'd be delighting in the Lord. I had all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems, okay? I was even struggling with sin because I had a girlfriend that was, you know, and not her fault, just as much my fault as hers, okay? And a lot of messed up priorities. But even in the midst of my brokenness, even in the midst of my confusion, even in the midst of me not getting it right, I was able to worship God. Does that make me perfect? No! But it caused me to tap into something powerful. And I was able to, like, do it. And if you are asking, want to know how would you do that, I don't have time to elaborate, but I'd love to tell you the story sometime, okay? We can go for coffee or whatever and I'll yak with you how you pull that off. Everything we do when the presence of God comes in can be an act of worship. Everything. That doesn't take away from singing, because singing can be wonderful, okay? When we worship, it reveals the reality and power of what Christ has done. And it reveals the power and the authority of what Christ has done even greater if that worship is sacrificial. And most of the time, it's sacrificial. Okay? A lot of you guys that know me know I'm not a morning person. Okay? When I come on Sunday morning, I do not feel like singing. Okay? I do not feel like, how are you, John? It's morning. I say that to a lot of you. You've heard me say that. Okay? It's morning. Okay? And I don't always feel like worshiping. But I found in those times when you don't feel like it and you surrender, when I surrender my will, when I surrender, well, I don't have to. You know, and if I worship, it's going to be phony. Oh, there's a believable lie of the devil right there. If I worship, it's going to be phony. There's one area in life where you can fake it and God will honor it. When you are worshiping God because you don't feel like it. It's a sacrifice. That feels like faking it, but I'm telling you right now, okay? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And when you do it, and when you are in giving thanks in all circumstances, even when you don't feel like it, the devil will tell you you're faking it because he does not want you to know the presence of Jesus in your life. He does not want you to feel the Holy Spirit lifting you. He wants you stewing in your broken, tired, fleshly state. Okay? He tricks me with that all the time. Okay? And I'm the one that loses for it. I've learned. I can lift myself. I can. If I really want to, I can lift myself. I start singing the praises of the Lord. What did we lose through disobedience? A lot of people don't think about it because it's, you know, a bit of a downer. Okay? Confidence. We lost confidence. We lost authority that was supposed to be ours. We lost fruitfulness. Confidence. We lost confidence in our barrier-free, intimate relationship with the Lord. Now we can seem distant without Christ. If it's not, you know, if we don't seek Him with all our heart, because there's still sin in the world, and you, sometimes in you seeking Jesus and being close to Him, you gotta break through that sin barrier. The sin's been paid for, and you have access to Him, but the devil hates you, and he's gonna do everything to keep you, to get between you and Him. He will bring distractions and circumstances. Don't get close to God, because that's where your power is, okay? We lose authority. Adam's household, after they sinned, now they're accusing one another. The woman told me, well, the serpent did this. And then later on, you got Cain and Abel, you know, getting to the point where Cain kills Abel. He's having to go out and sweat for his food. Never had to do that before. Had to work. Imagine being retired for, you know, 10 years. Some of you people over 50 can relate to this. And you've had it good. And then all of a sudden something happens where the pension goes away and you gotta get a 40-hour work job at Walmart, you know, giving carts to people. That's not gonna feel good after you've been fooling around for 10 years doing, you know, whatever. Multiply that 100 times here. Strife comes in. Okay? All of that. All of this stuff. Confidence, authority, fruitfulness has been restored through Christ's death and resurrection. And that's why Jesus says, and throughout the New Testament, even the Old Testament says, put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. And one of the lines that we've been throwing out here, and I want to push it, the most powerful manifestation of hope is worship. The most powerful manifestation of hope is worship. Because you don't always feel like worshiping. And if I can bring myself, because hope just doesn't happen. Hope is not a natural thing. Worship is not either. That's why there's so many admonitions in the Word of God to worship and to put our hope in the Lord, because it declares all the great things that Christ has done and is doing, even when His ultimate purpose for us is not fulfilled yet, or we can't see it fulfilled yet. Hasn't happened yet. In the meantime, He asked me to make my life an act of worship to Him. He even commands it. And if I didn't know how good God was, if I didn't have faith, you know, that He is who He says is, I would think those commands to worship, that's a little harsh, you know? I mean, come on. What are you, some type of like autocratic, megalomaniac, insecure dictator? That you want me to worship you even when, like, you know, I don't feel like it? Why do I feel like that? Because the devil knows. Nothing will give me a more accurate perspective of who's really in charge of my life. Okay, nothing will affirm His lordship in your life if we can learn to live a worshipful life. I repent of my unthankfulness a lot. I repent of my darkness a lot. And most of the time our darkness is our own choosing. You will never be able to turn to circumstances, but you know the line, we can always change how we respond to the circumstances. And when it comes to worship and Jesus telling us to worship in the whole, it's throughout the whole Word of God, He is telling us, this is how you respond to your circumstances. In this world, you will have trouble. And then He says, but be of good cheer. Now you could stew and feel sorry for yourself and say, yeah, but you don't know my situation. Okay? Yeah, I know mine, and He knows yours better than you do, and He still says, be of good cheer. It's a command. Man, that's strong stuff, okay? What happens when you engage in supercharged hope? Because that's what worship is. Supercharged hope. That's for all you hot rod freaks, okay? was going to say turbocharged, but supercharged sounds a little more heroic. Okay? Worship, supercharged hope. What happens when you engage in it? Okay? And remember, most of the time our worship is sacrificial. Okay? The band's not always going to get it right. There's not always going to be, you know, the right song in here. And, you know, when you get out of the fellowship of the body of Christ, you get in the world where, you know, the prince of the power of the air is, he's in control. He's the Lord of this world, okay? And he's squatting on territory that doesn't belong to him, but you know how he rules in your office place, in your school, and in your neighborhood, okay? What happens when we engage in this, okay? Things happen. Worship reveals God's presence in your life. Even when you didn't even think it was there. Okay? I don't feel God's love. Really? What's your worship life like? You've heard that. Well, what's my prayer life like? What's your life in the Word? What's your worship life like? I don't feel God's presence. Ask you, what's my worship look like? Have you got a handle on this yet? Okay? Worship brings peace in all its forms. The Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. Worship acknowledges who Jesus is. Worship almost forces us to trust. Pretty hard to worship without trust. If you're going to walk into worship, you're going to have to trust. That's not easy to do. Well, the devil says it's not easy to do. Okay? When you walk in obedience to what the Lord says about worship, you're going to find out how big a liar the devil really is. Okay? Worship, when we do it, when we give worshipfully, it even brings economic freedom. Oh, yeah, here's the pitch. Yeah, we're going to go into a business meeting. He's going to tell what the finances is. He wants us all tithing. Yeah, well, I want you all tithing anyway. And I know that all these verses about economic prosperity and everything, I know there's all sorts of preachers on TV. It's making them tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay? And there's a lot of things that are out of whack and priorities that are messed up. But the Bible still says, okay? It wasn't Creflo Dollar. It wasn't, you know, all these prosperity preachers, okay? It wasn't them that wrote this. It was Jesus that said, you give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured in your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, I know this is not just finances, but it does include finances. It's the way we, in fact, the context of it is forgiveness. When you forgive, it's going to be forgiven back to you, okay? That's the word of God. We don't ignore scriptures because some greed-feeding preacher has soiled those scriptures, okay? Still the word of God. What happens when you worship? It brings health. Whoa. Well, look at, study after study will tell you that stress kills people, okay? There's people that go through, some people have gone through divorce or a lost loved one or a child that's died, and they are so depressed, they sink into such a dark place that they actually die of a broken heart. That's common. There's not an atheist medical professional, doctor specialist in this city that won't acknowledge how serious stress is on the body. Okay? And when you worship, it takes care of that to a great degree. It brings peace. It brings joy. Here's something that, there's another powerful scripture here. Boy, I'd love to get my head around this. I need to believe this one more. You ready? His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Wow. I thought you said if I seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto you. Well, if I'm in the Lord and he's my Savior, even before I start seeking things, he's already given me everything we need. Okay? I've got him. I got the Word of God. I've got the body of Christ here. The enemy's very effective in blinding even the follower of Christ to this reality. He's good. He's a good liar. Oh, every lie makes sense. He can justify you sticking to your own way and it making more sense than God's word. But I tell you, the word of God says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. I'm going to say it again. There's the bunch that say, thy will be done. And there's the bunch to God who God says, okay, have it your way, you know. And when we have it our way, that's not his way. Isaiah 55 says, my ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. He wants to take me out of that. If anything, and I, forget everything, and I, you can forget everything I've said, but get this in your brain. Worship dispels blindness. Spiritual blindness. Worship dispels blindness. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. They can't see the light of the gospel. Romans 1 says because they didn't think it profitable to seek God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. That's a nice way of saying, okay, you want to be nuts? Be nuts. You know? Call wrong right, call right wrong. You know, I don't use the word common sense anymore. Because commonly, I can't believe, you know, the priorities of people in our culture now. Blows me away. Blows me away. The only sense is from the Word of God. And the Word says that the world is blind. It is blind outside of the light of Christ. Worship dispels blindness. Of who's in charge. Close your eyes. Most of you know this song. It's I'm not putting it up on the screen because most of you know it. And it's not a, this is not an old corny tune. And, if you've never heard it before, listen to the lyrics. And those of you that know, I don't want you to sing with me. You know this song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. One more time. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I got a bit of a word here, and I don't know sometimes how to handle when these things come, so I'm just going to share it with you. And I think there are one or two, maybe more than one or three people here that have been really struggling. And while we were singing, you got the impression, that's it. That's my answer. It's not getting what I want. It's learning how to worship. That's it. That's the key to the peace I've been seeking. It's worship. That's it right there. And if you were thinking that, I think the Lord heard you and he's just wanting to confirm it right now. Keep your eyes closed. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where it starts, right there. And just about every Sunday morning, I invite people to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. If he's not your Lord and Savior, this is pretty much Greek to you. But it's, unless you're Greek, of course. But it all starts with, Jesus, I want you to come in. Well, I went to church all my life. You can live in a chicken coop all your life. It's not going to turn you into a chicken, okay? It's not how it works. There has to come a time when we acknowledge, Christ, I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. Come, cleanse. And if you've never done that before, I've never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you've never done that before, I want you to raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to mess with you and call you forward or embarrass you or anything like that. We don't do that, okay? But you've never acknowledged Christ as your Lord and Savior before. You never mind. Put your hand up real quick. We're going to pray for you before we leave, okay? Okay? Nobody put their hand up. Praise the Lord. God, what is of you? Let it stick to us like glue. What does John counsel? Let it be like water off a duck's back. And God, Help us, help me, God, help me and my church family. Help us get a handle on worship. We're not interested in worshiping worship, but boy, we're interested in worshiping you, and we want to know the power that's there. Show us, guide us, open up our hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, be the teacher that you need to be for this to come alive in our lives, Lord. We lose that and agree on it in every life that's in this room today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.